from the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, for pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we're your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And remember now, this show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. That is the place where your money becomes more money. And even more than that, it's the place where your flimsy paper money can be converted into something of real, tangible, intrinsic value. So be sure to visit WrightsCoinShop.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. And you can also call 828-298-5402. Write that number down, 828-298-5402. This hour of the program, well, we are going to dig into a subject that contains plenty of potential for controversy, but that's what makes it so fun and interesting, and I'm even going to share one of my weird theories with all of you. This hour, we're going to talk about God and the devil and vampires. To begin with, let's sort of define what God and the devil and vampires are. Because, you know, I could very easily ask, Shelley, what is your definition of God? Sam, what is your definition of God? And then I could give my definition of God. But the reality is, we are not looking at personal definitions of God and the devil and vampires. We want to look at sort of a collective definition that spans all cultures, all texts. And so I want to start off by reading some basic definitions to you from the great almighty Wikipedia. And when it comes to Wikipedia, there's something that I will share with all of you relating to my own personal experience with Wikipedia. Wikipedia is supposed to be a forum that anyone can contribute to. And that may sound good at first, but it kind of leads you to believe that Wikipedia is a true democracy. And true democracies are not good. Let me explain. True democracies are ruled by majority. They're ruled by, I think our forefathers called them mobs. And so that means that there was a time in the United States history when all eligible voting people believed that slavery was okay. So in that case, hey, democratically majority ruled. Now we have what's called a republic, which is where you have representatives who are supposed to vote on behalf of their constituents. And to give you an example of the good and the bad part of open source democracy, years ago, a Wikipedia article was posted about me. It was the Joshua P. Warren Wikipedia article. And whether or not it deserved to be there, who knows? They say it's based upon notability, which is a subjective term. But I can tell you from my own point of view, well, my book How to Hunt Ghosts was published by Simon & Schuster, the biggest publisher in the world, and I've been on a lot of TV programs, and all those TV programs are on Wikipedia, etc. So I went to my own Wikipedia page, and someone had written, Joshua P. Warren was born in Asheville, South Carolina, on blah, 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 blah. Well,
obviously, I don't even know if there is an Asheville, South Carolina, but I know that I was born in Asheville, North Carolina. I have a birth certificate that says that.
Prove it.
Which stands up to the criteria for Wikipedia, supposedly. And so I said, oh, well, this is, some kind of open source thing. I should be able to correct that. So I went on to my own Wikipedia page, and I changed South Carolina to North Carolina. Well, after that, some kind of administrator from Wikipedia posted on this forum about this change. Well, who are you, and how do you know this? What gives you the credibility to change this? And I said, well, I am Joshua P. Warren, and I was born in Asheville, North Carolina. And, oh, God, the unholy gates of hell opened because the administrator said, you're editing your own Wikipedia article? That is against all of our regulations and rules and parameters. And it was just like the most horrible thing you could do is edit your own Wikipedia article. And so basically, in the long run, my whole Wikipedia article was deleted.
It's not there. I just looked.
Yeah, so I currently do not have a Wikipedia article. Now, that may be for the best, because if having a Wikipedia article means that everybody gets to edit it except people like me who know, maybe I'd just rather there not be one. On the other hand, I don't know, maybe there are wonderful benefits of having a Wikipedia article about yourself, but the point is, I can tell you from personal experience that there are all these bizarro rules, at least in my mind, and that a true democracy, however it happens in real life or on the internet, is commandeered by bullies and those who have the time to put into these exercises. So that said, I'm going to start by reading some Wikipedia definitions of what God and the devil and vampires are. So, here's the Wikipedia statement about God. God is often conceived as the supreme being and principal object of faith. The concept of God, as described by theologians, commonly includes the attributes of omniscience, which is infinite knowledge, omnipotence, unlimited power, omnipresence, which is present everywhere, omnibenevolence, which is perfect goodness, divine simplicity, and eternal and necessary existence. They go on to say, in theism, God is the creator and sustainer of the universe, while in deism, God is the creator but not the sustainer of the universe. Monotheism is the belief in the existence of one God or in the oneness of God. And pantheism, God is the universe itself. In atheism, God is purported not to exist, while deemed unknown or unknowable within the context of agnosticism. So, also says God has also been conceived as being incorporeal, meaning immaterial, a personal being, the source of all moral obligation, and the, quote, greatest conceivable existent, end quote. So that's the definition that we're going to go by here when we talk about God for this discussion.
You just sounded like Rush Limbaugh when you said God, with talents on loan from God.
God. Now let's move on to the devil. Okay, the devil, and this is according to Wikipedia, is believed in many religions, myths, and cultures to be a supernatural entity that is the personification of evil and the enemy of God and humankind. The nature of the role varies greatly, ranging from an effective opposite force to the Creator God, locked in an eons-long struggle for human souls on what may seem even terms, to being a comical figure of fun or an abstract aspect of the individual human condition. Also goes on here to say, in terms of the etymology, meaning the origin of the term, devil descends from the Middle English D-E-V-E-L, devil, which in turn represents an early Germanic, and that in turn is borrowed from an ancient Greek diabolos, which ultimately means slanderer or to slander. So ultimately the idea of the slanderer or Satan, that term that we use comes from that. But interestingly enough, the Wikipedia article says in Judaism, in mainstream Judaism, there is no concept of a devil like in mainstream Christianity or Islam. Texts make no direct link between the serpent that tempts Eve in the Garden of Eden from Genesis and references to Satan in the first book of Chronicles and in Job. In Hebrew, the biblical word ha-satan means the adversary or the obstacle or even the prosecutor, which implies that God is recognized and viewed as the ultimate judge. So as much as the devil exists in any form of Judaism, his role is as an adversary and an accuser, which is assigned rather than assumed. Okay, when we come back from this break, we're going to define what a vampire is, and then we're going to take this discussion to what I call the next level, what Sam calls number 11 on the dial. We are going to pump this up into my own thoughts upon what the God and the devil and the vampires have in common. And we'll see if you think if I'm onto something or if this is totally nuts. Either way, it'll be interesting. And that's what we dig into on this show. Interesting, extraordinary things. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. And speaking of strange, we'll be back right after this.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
This is the greatest and best song in the world.
Tribute.
Long time ago, me and my brother Kyle here, we was hitchhiking down a long and lonesome road. All of a sudden, there shined a shiny demon in the middle of the road, and he said,
play the best song in the world or I'll eat your soul.
Well, me and Kyle, we looked at each other and we each said, okay. And we played the first thing that came to our heads, just so happened to be song in the world. It was the best song in the world. Look into my eyes and it's easy to see. One and one make two, two and one make three. It was destiny. Once every 100,000 years or so, when the sun does shine and the moon does
this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. And, hey, we're glad that you're spending your evening with us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. We call this program Speaking of Strange, and it's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call Miss Shelley Wright. That's right. She might even answer the phone if you're lucky. If not, you can request her. 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And before we get into this, well, this segment on the vampires, we have had just an explosion of interest in the wishing machine all around the world. I mean, these things have now shipped to China, to Egypt, to Africa, to Australia, to Greece. I can't even remember all the places. If you don't know what the wishing machine is, that's okay. You're not alone. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and watch the free video there on the website, and you will see why that this is exploding around the world. Before the break, last segment, well, I gave you the Wikipedia definition of God and the devil. So here's what Wikipedia says about vampires. Vampires are mythical beings who subsist by feeding on the life essence. Now, let me pause there for a minute. Think about that term. The life essence is what vampires actually feed on. So, let me continue now. Subsist by feeding on the life essence, in parentheses, generally in the form of blood, of living creatures. In folkloric tales, undead vampires often visited loved ones and caused mischief or deaths in the neighborhoods they inhabited when they were alive. They wore shrouds and were often described as bloated and of ruddy or dark countenance, markedly different from today's gaunt, pale vampire, which dates to the early 1800s. Although vampiric entities have been recorded in most cultures, the term vampire was not popularized until the early 18th century after an influx of vampire superstition into Western Europe from areas where vampire legends were frequent, such as the Balkans and Eastern Europe. Although variants were also known by different names, such as Vrkolakas in Greece and Strigoi in Romania. This increased level of vampire superstition in Europe led to what can only be called mass hysteria, and in some cases resulted in corpses actually being staked and people being accused of vampirism. Now, that term Strigoi is interesting because I mentioned, of course, that I've been to Transylvania in Romania and investigated all of the major Vlad the Impaler castles. Shelley Wright, you were right there with me the whole time. And do you remember, Shelley, at the end, the very last day of our expedition in Transylvania, Romania, we were taken to a chapel, if you will, that honored the burial of Vlad the Impaler.
Right.
It was on an island. It was a little island, and they had recently constructed a bridge that you could walk across to reach. And it was a very solemn place. There were all of these sort of strict Orthodox monks and priests there that I think they were singing and all kinds of stuff and having a bit of a ritual when we got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, according to what we were told, what you and I were told, when we took our trip over there, they said, and our guide, Radu, said, that Vlad the Impaler was eventually imprisoned, and then he was taken out to a nearby field Nobody knows exactly where it was, but he showed us roughly where the field was, and supposedly he was executed by beheading, and nobody's sure what happened to him. Well, when they looked into the grave that had been believed for hundreds of years to be Vlad's grave, there was no body in the grave. So nobody is sure what happened to his actual body, even though there is a place where people go to pay tribute, because he is considered a national hero in Romania. And it's for obvious reasons. I mean, at the time, all he was doing from the Romanian people's perspective was protecting them from invaders, the Ottoman Turks. And yes, his methods were horrible and cruel, but that was the norm for the day among rulers. So here's this story. Before I get to my theory here, here's an interesting story that I came across from bloodydisgusting.com. It says, researchers may have finally found Dracula's grave, and they want to open it. Now, this story says, according to history, Dracula's cruelty and domination was very well documented, except for his final days. In 1476, all knowledge of his exact whereabouts ceases. Some say he died in battle, while others say he was taken prisoner. So that's interesting that they are, I'm just pausing as a side note, saying, interesting that they're saying, you know, there's a controversy over whether or not he was even taken prisoner. Getting back to the story, they say some scholars believe that Tepes was ransomed to his daughter, who lived in Naples, where he spent the rest of his days. Researchers noticed a tomb at the Santa Maria la Nova Church is covered with Transylvanian symbols. A medieval history scholar realized this, and they say when you look at the sculptures, the symbolism is obvious. There's a dragon there, which means Dracula, and two opposing sphinxes represent the city of Thebes, also known as Tepes. So in these symbols, the very name of Dracula Tepes is written, so they are claiming. So there's this new grave that they're trying to open and get permission to open, and so this shows you how compelling that this mystery continues to be. Did that make sense to both of you, Sam and Shelley?
It did, because I have the story pulled up. So okay. I was looking at it. I was just showing Shelley the carving in what would that be called, a sarcophagus, or a, I guess in the grave. The dragon means Dracula, and the two opposing sphinxes represent the city of Thebes, also known as Thebes. In these symbols, the very name of the Count Dracula Thebes is written.
Tepes.
Sorry, I didn't go to Romania with y'all.
Yeah, Sam.
Sorry, I missed the city tour.
Sorry.
We shouldn't even talk to you about this, Sam.
Shelley's showing me a photo of...
Yes, of the inside of that church where Dracula was supposed to have been laid to rest, but then they opened it up later and he wasn't even there.
So now, Shelley, are you showing him a picture that you took or just one online?
That we took. On the tour.
Really?
Yeah.
You were able to pull a picture up that quickly?
Yeah.
On her new Samsung Galaxy
S5. S5!
That's awesome. So, okay, so do you have all of those photos just that easily accessible at your fingertips?
I have a bunch of them, yeah.
Yeah. See, Sam, that was the trip of a lifetime, wasn't it, Shelley?
It was pretty darn cool.
No, Shelley, it was the trip of a lifetime.
Well, that implies that anything else you do is going to suck. And it
just
won't be
yes,
the trip
Shelley.
Of a lifetime. Yes, yes, Joshua.
Right. See, I told you guys it was the trip of a lifetime.
It was a trip of a lifetime.
Oh, that could be the new tagline. Babe. Speaking of strange, the trip of a lifetime.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to tell you my theory about how God and the devil and vampires all relate, and then it'll just be open discussion with the two most brilliant minds in the studio right now, Sam and Shelley. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny does your dog bite, no child knows."
Yes, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Where the paranormal becomes normal. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I am broadcasting myself out of Puerto Rico, the heart of the Bermuda Triangle. I have producer Sam the Animal Steele, along with investigator Shelley Wright at our Asheville flagship station. And we're talking about, well, God, the devil, and vampires. And, you know, when it comes to this concept in general, let me just point this out. I know that this weekend there are a lot of True Blood fans who are disappointed True Blood's going to end. But there's a lot of new vampire stuff coming out. You know, vampire content has always been a hit. Ever since Dracula was published, I mean, vampire stuff has been a commercial commodity. And just like, you know, Zach Bagans, he's got Vampire Adventures coming out soon. And I was talking to Zach recently about that. And basically, the idea is that wherever you go, there are people who believe they are vampires and people who dig into the whole vampire lore. And I, for about 2 years, have been planning to write a vampire book. And that sounds so cliched and overdone, but I actually have come up with a brand new type of vampire book. Now, that's not what I'm going to talk about this segment, because my idea for a vampire book which is nonfiction, is so good that I would never give it away before I've even written it. But I am going to be producing a vampire book that I think a lot of people will enjoy. But here's one thing that I do want to dig into, a new theory. I think it's a new theory. Maybe it's not. About connecting God and the devil and vampires. So, Sam, you and Shelley, listen up now and tell me what you think about this.
Yes, Papa.
Yes.
All right. Good. Here we go, kids. So, when you hear about God and the devil battling over your soul, that sounds so stupid and cheesy that you have to think from a realistic point of view, well, why does God want my soul, right? What's to him? He's got everything. I read the definition. He's supposedly everything. He owns everything. He created everything. You know, why does God want my soul? He practically already has it because he created everything and everything is his. So that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get to the devil, and you're like, oh, why does the devil want my soul? What's he going to do with it? What good is my soul going to do for the devil? And then, you know, you get around here to vampires. They want your essence. Well, okay. We can understand vampires a little bit more because they're feeding on you like an animal. They're sucking your blood. But it's really about the essence, and sometimes the blood is a representation of the essence. And vampires are unholy creatures aligned with the devil because you thrust a crucifix in their face and they withdraw. Well, I looked at this whole situation from the perspective of a more or less modern-day petroleum entrepreneur, a guy who's just trying to make money and exploit resources. Now, our world is run on petroleum products as we speak. Petroleum products come from the energy of dead living beings. I mean, if you look up petroleum, and yes, there are still some people who are out there who will say, well, we don't know for sure. But by and large, all the mainstream scientists tell you the energy that we use every day to power your electricity, to power your car, to power all the boats and the ships that transport things, the whole world is run from the energy of dead creatures. So we know that the energy of dead creatures can be transformed into actual, practical, accessible energy. What if what we don't know yet is that, logically, the energy of living beings is far more extraordinary and powerful than the energy of dead beings. And that this whole battle for souls is not because that, oh, God loves you or the devil wants you or what. It's because that all of these characters, God, the devil, vampires, literally have energy companies, so to speak, in the cosmos. And they want your soul because your living soul is worth an enormous amount of money in the new era of energy transformation.
Isn't that sort of at the basis of the first Matrix, wasn't it, the first one, where the people were becoming the batteries? Remember? They were all in the Matrix. They thought they were living lives, but they were in that big room. And they were all just like in those pods, and their essences, if you were being used for power.
I don't know. I mean, I
don't think there's a corporation behind it, necessarily, but the tenet is the same. like mm-hmm. they were using the living people, but fooling them into thinking that they were living lives, when in reality they were just in a pod producing power while they were alive.
Wow. Mm. See, I have not seen The Matrix since it came out, so that's what it was?
Worth a rewatch.
Damn you, Sam Steele! I thought that I had an original idea.
The Wojciechowski brothers.
Yeah. When you were 20 years ago, that was on the big screen. You watched it. It subliminally implanted itself in your mind, and now you're just regurgitating.
It's not exact. It wasn't an exact. It was similar.
All right. Well, you know, I'll take that as a compliment then, because that was a big hit. The Matrix.
I saw that more times in the theater, I think, than any other movie.
Really?
Yeah, I loved the first one. I thought it was great.
So you got it right off the bat. You've done so many drugs that you immediately got The Matrix.
As rare, how often do you go and see a movie at the theater more than once, you know? And I think I saw that one. I saw it in different continents, for Pete's mm-hmm. sake.
What was the other continent?
Europe. I mean, I saw it while I was in London once. Mm-hmm. And there's theaters over there, horrible. That's just another reason why we rock. USA.
Woohoo!
USA.
Was it any different watching it in Europe?
Yeah, the theaters are smaller. Everything's smaller. We rock.
Bathrooms, elevators. Yeah.
Yeah, we just better sound. But it was a good thought, and you didn't rip it.
All right. So for everybody who's listening, think about that. Think about the idea that maybe the reason that God and the devil and vampires and all these, you know, beings are after you is not just because, oh, we love you. What if it's because that we literally are worth X amount of blank in the cosmic scale of the energy that is available for practical propulsion, transportation, making wheels spin, you know, making craft fly, making things happen. And that, however, there is some little aspect of the relationship where we have to consent, right?
Accept.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible to just leech on and take it, but if you exactly, Sam, if you click I accept, it makes it so much easier, and that we are literally being used as fodder for some kind of an energy machine, and that is why each person, each and every person, is so valuable, and each and every person is worth the effort to convert that person into hitting that I accept button. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a story here. I guess it's more of a commentary, really, about interdimensional invasions. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit and some other concepts related to God, the devil, and vampires. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Strange. the final minute of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. This evening's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And if you go to WrightsCoinShop.com, that's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com, you'll find a map and a photograph of Shelley Wright and all kinds of information about how you can turn your money into more money in Asheville, North Carolina. And I also want to make sure all of you understand that the next hour of the show is what we call the Dark 30 Hour. We save it for the last hour, late at night, because it's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So, you know, you may or may not want to stay tuned in for that. But now you know what's coming up next hour on the program. So we've been talking about God, the devil, vampires. And what I just said last segment, it kind of implies that maybe that the God that sort of may have created all of this is not the God that everybody thinks of when they think of God. Maybe all of these interactions with God and the devil and vampires has been an interaction with beings that have a stake in utilizing your bioenergy for some type of cosmic power plant. In fact, you could say that the idea of the devil in general is based upon delusion and misleading and deception and all that. There was a story that Mr. Mobius sent me recently from Paranormix.com about interdimensional invasions. It says a theoretical physicist named Edward Witten combined the five versions of string theory that existed into one elegant design called M-theory in 1994. In M-theory, which is generally understood to be membrane, the words matrix, master, mother, monster, mystery, magic have also been associated, and it brought all these theories together, asserting that we are all living at least in a reality that has slices of a membrane with 11 different dimensions. And in those dimensions, well, you have Bigfoot, shadow people, UFOs. Is it possible that in one or more of those dimensions, there is a civilization that taps in to the living energy that we have and uses it in the same way that we tap into the energy of dead creatures for petroleum purposes? I mean, if we get all this energy from creatures that died millions of years ago and power our whole universe on petroleum, why should we not consider there may be other dimensions that are so evolved that they can they have mastered this idea of taking the energy of living beings and utilizing that as the greatest, most amazing power supply in the world? Now, we only have a couple minutes before the end of this segment. Sam the Animal Still, what are your thoughts here?
If that is the case, and we are being harvested as energy, and we don't know it, then is it a problem? It's like when people say, you go to the Chinese restaurant, and it's like, you're eating cat. Well, if that's cat, that's delicious cat. I say more power to them. If we're being harvested and it's like not really affecting my day-to-day operations, then what's the problem?
All right, Shelley, what do you think about all this?
This all sounds too matrixy to me.
Oh. Profound. Well, we still have
Thanks.
Over a minute left, right, Sam?
Yeah, a little bit. I might have fired that hat early. But we'll just ride it out. We'll ride that out. It's Stevie.
You, you became so uncomfortable, you prematurely fired.
I prematurely wondered.
You prematurely fired
you
off.
You had my synapses firing so hard, and I was thinking to myself, like, what could I say? I'm like, oh my gosh, like, but no, I mean, expound upon that just a hair, like, let's say that was the case, this advanced race of civilization, and, but this is the only reality that we know, right? You know, like, right now, I'm in the studio, I'm pressing these buttons, you know, I'll go home later on in the car, or sit on a chair, whatever. If that's all we know, and it's not changed, then shouldn't, like, we're being used at least for something decent. Somebody's using us for power. It might be power in good or evil, but at least we're being used. And that's all we can hope. That's all Mama said we could hope for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Just give it up is what he's saying. Just lay back and give it up, people.
That's it.
Intro to Dark 30.
All right. So when we come back, it will be, sure enough, time for the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for that if it's your cup of tea here on tonight's Speaking of Strange.